This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today we're going to have a free-flowing show because there's so much stuff going on, I don't know where to start. let me see. Let's start off with school, since it's now we're in school season and the government is now playing a little bit of catch-up, I think. I've been speaking about the subject for the past 3 weeks, and it just seemed as if I was talking to, you know, the ether out there. Hopefully people were paying attention to what I was saying about the fact that the government, during all of this immigration crisis, did not spend the time and effort to literally test these illegal immigrants coming across the border for medical diseases. First, because it was such a huge onslaught, and second, because they didn't have the manpower, and third, which I can't prove, but I'm very suspicious, they didn't have the will to do so. I think this is, and I've said it before, a political issue, using humans as the grist for this mill, and it's all about the election. I think everything that's been happening politically recently has a political tint to it, whether it's the Missouri shooting, whether it's the immigration crisis, the Affordable Care Act, all of these things now are just circling as a perfect storm to distract people. And I find it to be the same playbook each time. It's the same thing. It's using our conscience against us, calling us names. Anybody who has a critical brain cell who asks important and reasonable questions are being shouted down by the administration, the media, and proponents of a system that's absolutely bankrupt. There is nothing good about the liberal agenda or the progressive agenda, whatever you want to call it. It's actually, this is, I find this to be, you know, Orwellian speak, Hegelian dialectic, you name it. They're using Alinsky playbook. Everything is coming out of the woodwork to try to distract, divide, and demean and dumb down people so that they don't have the will to come out for Election Day. And to me, this is one of the most important elections that we've had. Every election is important, but this one in particular has major, long-standing complications and implications for what we choose or don't choose. So, I mean, Georgia is one example where you've got Michelle Nunn running on the Democratic side. And the first thing I noticed about her campaign is she tried to distance herself from Obamacare in a weird way. It was like, well, I'm for, you know, now she didn't say repeal, but the rhetoric was very subtle, that I'm against this. If you vote for me, I'll work for the people, when in actuality she's an agent for the government and will do everything that the progressive agenda wants her to do. She will be a rubber stamp for the administration well past when it ends, which is a problem. And let's break down what progressive and liberal is. I find it to be one of the most one-dimensional, authoritarian, you know, it's hard to say. They just don't believe in freedom of thought or choice. It's their way or no way. And they couch it in, I care and everybody's wonderful, and it's not true. I've never seen people like this before, where it's all about really death and killing people and controlling people. I know nobody read this article, and I looked at it briefly, but I was kind of shocked. But the government is putting into place, for example, for the illegal immigrant children who are unaccompanied minors, and they get placed in foster homes. And by the way, they want upwards of 100 million, between 500 million and 100 million, sorry, 500,000 and $100 million is a pot that the government is now setting aside to pay for these foster arrangements. So basically, it's a crony system set up that you'll get paid to take these people in. But it's part of your system, and this is a, I know that we've talked about the private home situation, but there's also an institutionalized version of this where they go into, I wouldn't say, it's kind of like a youth detention center. and they can have anywhere from 18 to 200 people in this center, where most youth centers have 16 to 18. So we're talking about huge numbers of kids in one location, where the powers that be running that location get paid by the government to take care of these children. So they have to go to school, we already know that. But they also have to get, and this is my favorite part, family planning counseling. What is that for a 10-year-old to a 16-year-old? What is that about? I don't even know what that is, but that's part of what they have to, by government mandate, offer to these children that end up in these auditoriums, centers, I don't know what you want to call them, but I've never heard of anything like that. Aren't there supposed to be stable locations where, how about having some civics where you learn American history, where you learn English instead of family planning, family counseling, or, you know, there's mental health, which is cool. I'm totally all over that. But it's almost like it's an indoctrination camp. So you have children who go through the system, they get to go to school, they get immunized, hopefully, and then they talk about family planning. What is this? Planned Parenthood goes up in there? I mean, I don't even know why you need that for such young children, technically. But this is what the government is spending money on. They don't tell us anything. But I say $100 million pot for this system that is basically locked. You can apply to become a caregiver in the system. But who are those people? Are they background checked any more than the Obamacare helpers were background checked? I mean, it's just ripe for cronyism, for a system that is set up to fail and basically waste money at middle of the road. Worst case scenario, you select out people who are mercenary and who have no interest in helping people but actually want to use them. Or that's the worst case scenario, in my opinion. And the best case scenario is you spend all this money, but nothing really gets accomplished. And these people still are not, first of all, they're still not legal, one. Two, they're still not brought into the American system. They don't understand our civics, our, you know, mores, our language. I mean, so what's the point of this? And ultimately, it's as if the government, to me, is running a parallel system where they're just, you know, setting up the game to rig it. You know, you have all this onslaught of people coming in who, down the road, I'm sure, that, and I've heard the Democrats say this, that they want to have union members down the road. They want to have voters. They want to set up a permanent Democratic majority. What's the best way to set it up? You actually bring the people into the system and have them enter it so you can gin up your numbers. And they're going all over the country. We don't even know where. I've heard, you know, the Hawaii, Alaska, the Virgin Islands, and everywhere out in between. And they're lost to follow-up. We can't even keep a tab on college kids with visas. 6,000 are missing. They don't even know where they are. I mean, what kind of system are we running where we don't even know where people are, what they're doing, why they're entering the country? And it's haywire. I don't understand that. So I say at this point, we've got some choices to make in November. One is to get off your couch and start really doing some due diligence on who's running and get in their face. All they want is for you to push a lever, or better yet, stay home and have, you know, a fraction of the people vote and claim that it's a mandate, which is what happens in these elections. But everything has a consequence. While they're telling you how fabulous the economy is, the working pool is shrinking. There's 100 million people in this country who don't work. It's a third of the country. It's unsustainable. How does a third of the country sit home, sit out, just collect a check, and prey on the other two-thirds? And let's say maybe it's not even two-thirds, because you have the other half, or proportion, that are totally rich and totally opted out and have their money offshore and just skimming the cream off the top. Then you have everybody else, like you and I and the listeners, who actually work, who who get out there and have two jobs, who worry about making payroll every time the 2-week mark comes up, who's pushing their payments for their vendors or the people, their mortgage or whatever, trying to skate as close as they can to the end so they can make it work. That's the people who are getting screwed by the upper class and the people who want to sit on the couch while the government continues to say we're the problem. I really don't want to hear any more about how these union folks come on TV or the people that they're now trying to get the fast food guys, the lower wage workers, now puppeting or parroting the statement that the rich people are making money on their backs. It's not true. When they do things, it doesn't affect McDonald's and Cigna and Aetna and all these other big corporations. It affects the working class. It affects the small business owner. That's who's making the jobs. It's not all these corporate interests at all. People need to take a step back and let the heat die down and actually look at what's going on. We're just being lied to every day. I mean, it's tragic.
Interesting you should say that word, lied to. You know how old I am. Moses was a friend and all that. But I have never... I mean, it's not to say that a politician hasn't lied or that I haven't watched a politician in the past on television blatantly lie about something. But, you know, what's a saying? You tell a lie enough times and it starts becoming the truth
That's the system that they operate on.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just incredible. And I can't say the Republicans, I don't want to get party on this, but some of the stuff that the Democrats are coming out with, I mean, and it just flows off their tongue. We're in the best economy we've ever had.
Yeah, the safest, least violent times and all that good stuff,
And I sit or, then I levitate. It just, I've never seen such lying going on. I mean, the admiral that's the spokesman for the Pentagon today, they were trying to do a good job on, when somebody kills Americans and on, and we're bombing them, I don't think we're bombing them for their health. I would assume we must be at war with them. You can't get this administration, and you can't get the Pentagon to say we're at war.
We can't get them to say that we're in recession, or I should say depression. We can't get them to say the healthcare system that they
sucks.
and what they're bringing online is rationing and death panels. We can't get them to say that either. But if you are paying attention to what's going on, nothing is going in the right direction. I mean, we're ramping up war rhetoric to Russia, to China. We are actually, standing down our army. We're downsizing it. We are destroying our own weaponry. No one has to do anything to us. We're doing it to ourselves. I don't even know. I forget who made the quote, but the way to destroy America is to have it destroy itself. No one else can do it. We're doing it for ourselves. And this is the cherry on top, to have Biden, of all people, say, let's take America back. I think of living in a parallel universe. I feel like we're in a holodeck in a Star Trek episode. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George. Join me Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock for Medicine on Call. Learn strategies to protect you and your family in the age of Obamacare.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Yeah. Every segment of our society is in chaos, and I don't subscribe to fear. I don't do that. And I want my listeners to be in that same position that I am. I mean, knowledge is power. Everything that we talk about on the show has a purpose to it, to try to pry you out of your complacency and to start looking below what they tell you. You have to look at the doublespeak below what they're saying, read between the lines. It's in your face, but it's so horrible. I think most people can't even wrap their mind around the fact that the government doesn't mean us good. It doesn't want you to be a free thinker. It doesn't want you to be free. It doesn't want you to have an individual pursuit, because if you do, you become dangerous, because you question things that don't make sense. You were just telling me in the break about the Georgia congressman talking about basically that black people are still in slavery, and no matter how much we advance, we never advance. And we really need to really start calling everybody account to what they say. People get away with saying a lot of things in the name of civil rights and as a proponent of the race. And it's racist. And it's sexist. And when they say the Republicans are X or someone against the administration is Y, it's them. I mean, this is the same playbook over and over again. There's no black person in this country, white person either, who can stand up and say that we haven't made any advances from the 50s or the 60s. It can't say it. Having a black president twice trumps that argument. It wasn't black people that put him in there. It was white people. And they did it twice, unfortunately.
You know, something that has bothered me for years, and it still does. You know, I hate black and I hate white. I just like American.
Agreed.
Let's just, I'm sick of Afro-American. I'm sick of black Americans. I'm sick of white Americans.
It's all designed to divide.
Yeah.
You know, we have more things in common than we do that separate us. An average person, I don't care what color they are, what orientation they are, want the same thing. You want to live a productive, long, healthy life where you can pursue... sounds trite, but pursue happiness. That you can go out and go to the movies or get a summer home or go on vacation. You're not trying to shoot somebody in the street. You're not trying to rob your neighbor. You're not trying to control and manipulate someone's speech. That's not what the average person does, and that's the problem right there. The average person just gets up, goes to work, takes care of their children, takes care of their parents.
Pays their taxes.
Exactly. Minds their business and goes to sleep at night. We cannot afford to do that anymore. Silence is complicity, and complacence is complicity. And if you expect any of these people in power or those pursuing power to have your back, to speak for you, it's not happening. It hasn't happened for years, and it certainly isn't going to happen in this election. Everybody is saying what they think people want to hear to either pacify them, make them stay home, or make them come out and vote against their interests. I'm sorry, but I'm nothing now. I'm not a Republican or Democrat, but if I were a Democrat and I was living in a neighborhood like Ferguson or any working class neighborhood, there is no way I would come out and vote for a Democrat. And the reason is their stance on immigration. It's not about locking people out. It's not about xenophobia. It's about being able to survive. You have an onslaught of unskilled labor coming in. They're not going to be productive members of society. Let's say they are a two-year-old. It's going to be years before they're able to take a job. If they're a teen, they don't speak English, and they're unskilled, they're not going to actually open up a business and hire you. They are going to glom onto the social services system, or worse yet, this is my bigger fear. They won't get into the social system. They have no job. They have no prospects, but they see you, and you're the prey. What do they have to lose? We already know that they get arrested and released. We already know that they've been told if you leave, if you get deported, you can come back. It's a double standard, and it's lawless, and it's laws that apply to us, but not to them. It'd be a very small learning curve before they know, hell, I can do whatever I want, and nothing's going to happen to me. And I see this old lady down the street, or this young family, they got what I want, I'm going to take it. And what? When that starts to happen, it's not Beverly Hills, it's not Upper East Side, it's the hood that's going to be affected by this, and the working class neighborhoods, and the trailer parks, and all the people who are unarmed, or I should say disarmed, they're doing their damnedest to try to disarm people so they can't protect themselves. I think Ferguson's a perfect example of what happened. You had a mob that was manufactured, brought into Ferguson to agitate. You had the working people shuttered in their homes. You had the businesses protecting their own business, and you had the police on the other side looking at this. They didn't protect the businesses. They didn't stand in front of a citizen's door and try to keep anybody from coming in. They let this happen. They stood down, and then they had the nerve to go after the media who was showing this. That's what they did. Those tear gas, canisters weren't really for the protesters or the Black Panther. They were there for a good reason. Al Sharpton et al. Are there to do their job. Make it look good on camera. No one showed him being booed when he first showed up. That will never show up on CNN or MSNBC. That's not reality. The reality is you see Black people agitating, you see cops shooting, and you see mayhem, and we've been conditioned to think that it's Black people, they just shoot them. That's where we fall into this trap. Whatever happens to the least of us happens to all of us. I think I've said it on the show before, but I remember times when I lived in New York, the cops would shoot up people, they would do all sorts of things, and nobody in New York stood up. Whether it was Hispanic or white, they just let it happen. Now you're seeing suburban moms being pulled over by troopers and beaten on the road, tear gassed, shot, because we allow whatever happened in the hood to... It's just there. It's just them. It doesn't matter. It does matter, because once that precedent is set, once they pacify and control one section, they're coming for everybody. Nobody's safe. That's what people need to understand. It's not just the person over there. It's all of us, and we're all in it together. And as soon as we make the leap out of the frying pan of it's somebody else's problem, or that person is this color or that sexual orientation, so they deserve it, and they deserve their rights to be taken away, you've just lost your own. And it's our fault, and it goes throughout the entire society. And as a physician, I'm going to jump back to medicine for a second. Doctors are reaping what they sowed. I've never seen such a passive group of sheep in my entire life. It's okay for you to forego your Hippocratic Oath, for you to say, okay, I just want money, so I'll just do whatever the government tells me, or I'm going to pull that plug because my hospital says I have to. If I don't, you know, I'm getting written up in peer review. Why don't you resign? Why don't you stop playing the game? Why don't you open up your own practice? Why don't you stop feeding the beast? And that goes for everything. Stop buying food that kills you. Demand they take fluoride out of your water. Vote these people out. Get, what is it, I think ALEC, which is that lobbying organization, which makes Monsanto look like kind of like angelic. They've pervaded all of these local and state government agencies, all these Congress, these local Congresses, or whatever you want to call them, legislatures, and they're passing laws against us 24/7. It's all about taxing us, taking away our freedoms, having more mandates, more compliance, and every time they come up with another rule, trust me, it's going to come out of your pocket in some way. And we're just sitting back and letting someone run the show. But you cannot complain when you don't participate. You have nothing to say. So the people in Ferguson, for example, if 6% voted in their last election, and everybody coming into this area, oh, it's all racist, there's all white people running it, because the black people didn't vote. They don't mention that small fact. You know, it's just window dressing. We need to call the people out for this. John Lewis needs to be called out for what he said.
Well,
really? He's been a congressman for how long?
Two.
I guess that's racist too, right? Whatever.
Something that's never been brought up, and I want to ask you about this. A friend of mine asked me, and I didn't have an answer. You know, one of the last stories was that, you know, Brown had obviously, whether you want to call it robbed or stolen from the store, and was walking down the street, but supposedly the cop knew nothing about it, which that could be very well true. But he's walking down the street in the middle of the street, and he's been smoking, from what they said. So the cop stops him, or wants to stop him for jaywalking, I guess, mm-hmm. or something like that. Nobody ever said the other side of the coin. Okay, Brown knew that he had just stolen stuff. Wouldn't it be in his mind, oh my gosh, the cop's stopping me for that?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets, you know, defensive, at the least, or whatever. But nobody's ever looked at that. Have you? Or, I mean, has anybody ever brought that up to you, that what was in Brown's mind?
To a degree. I mean, it's a very complex situation. I don't think we have all the information, and I think it's being held back because you want to craft a story.
Yeah.
And the story didn't get crafted the way they wanted it to because you had embedded internet-based media who weren't about to play the game, who actually talked about things that no one would have known. So they outed the fact that the Black Panthers would come in during the day to foment violence, but they'd be gone at sunset. You know, there were people suburban, even white teen girls were there as if it was some sort of rave. This is insanity. This is like a social media flash mob nonsense, but people had property that was destroyed. I mean, the whole thing,
you know,
it's just crazy.
You know, about that, I'm speaking for me, but I have nothing against marching. That's
no.
Our right. As a country, that's our right to do. But there's no place that it says burning somebody's business, stealing from somebody, rolling over somebody's car. It's breaking the law. And if you're
Absolutely.
Breaking the law,
you should go to jail.
It's as easy as that.
But if the police were doing their job and protecting that, wouldn't have gotten to that point.
Yeah.
So how does a policeman feel? This is my other question. And that's also the problem with these interactions. It's always said the police were in fear for their life. They're policemen. What are they supposed to? It's like, okay, I'm afraid I'm not going to operate because I'm a surgeon, but I'm afraid, so I can't do it. That's what you train to do. Why do you always have to go to the lethal side of the force because of fear? What happened to tasers? What happened to overwhelming police presence so people know, hey, I can't even go there because there's too many cops to do this? It's always set up that it's lethal force, but for an unreal reason. A policeman shouldn't be afraid of a feather dropping. Therefore, they start spraying bullets everywhere. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And let's explore that a little bit more when we come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment, and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, I think there needs to be personal responsibility on both sides.
Just what you're saying there. The situation that we have today, and then I listened to the mayor of Ferguson the other day or during when it was all happening. We had an incident in my hometown, and I won't go into detail, but both the mayor and the chief of police immediately, I mean within an hour of the incident, said, "This is the way it's going to be, folks." They said it real straight. You break the law, you're going to be arrested. You try to attack us, and one of our dogs is going to get you. So don't come to Lubbock. Don't build us up past what it is. And that was the end of it. Now, you go to Ferguson, the stupid cop police chief didn't know his name and didn't know what they were doing yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The mayor was not helpful. But it's the same scenario we've got with federal government, too. We sadly need leadership in this country.
I agree with that. And I think the people that are running the show are not minding the story. It's not about us anymore. And I think it's stopped being about Americans for citizens for a very long time. And it's all been about angling for who gets the rest of this pie and who's in position of authority so they can profit from it. This is a profit-making venture. I mean, look at Eric Cantor. He just got voted out. Now he's going to be a lobbyist for, I forget who now. What was it? Some sort of corporate interest. But, you know, really, if you think about this again critically, he got voted out. That means his influence in Congress should be zero, shouldn't it? Something's going on that you can be voted out and then make more money. I just said to myself, he's going to make more money now.
$2 million for signing with him.
There you go. And all the perks you can get that you can choke a horse with. You know, that's what they care about. Meanwhile, on the flip side of this, 5 million people technically signed up for Obamacare. 5 million out of 350 million people. Yet that broke the entire healthcare system. Does that even, is that democracy in action? And this has been going on for about 5 years. This isn't just happened. As soon as they started, as soon as that bill was talked about, was, you know, argued over, the hospitals started changing. I mean, the healthcare system doesn't just follow suit. They've been doing things in advance for this. So I think anybody who needs to look at whatever city they're in, they're in a big city, it's pretty obvious. But their choices of hospitals started to drop drastically about 6 years ago. Then we have all these hospitals joining to become big corporate entities. And then we had, during all of this, starting probably in 1998, 2000, there was a change in the healthcare delivery where we became not doctors, not nurses, but providers, which meant everybody was lumped into this one pool where anybody, they're all interchangeable. You can go to a PA, it's equal to going to a surgeon, it's equal to going to a nurse, blah, blah, blah. That was the first step, is to desensitize people into thinking, it's okay to get a prescription called in. You don't have to see the doctor, just let them call it in for you. Or it's okay for the PA to take over care and not even have the doctor in the room ever, just sign off on the PA's chart and trust them. Or it gets even crazier, where you now have, that started off in the private practice, that went to the hospital basis. Now we're talking about the ERs being staffed by the same group of providers who aren't board-certified ER-trained doctors, but moonlight. Well, I don't think they even moonlight anymore. But you have family practice doctors covering ER. You've got internal medicine. Good luck finding a board-certified ER-trained doctor who knows how to take care of everything from delivering a baby to doing an emergency airway to intubating. These people don't know any of that anymore. And unintended consequences. If you have somebody who doesn't feel comfortable, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again because I need people to understand this. If you have someone who doesn't feel comfortable doing a procedure or making a diagnosis, the fallback is testing. The fallback is consult everything you can think of consulting without thought. That's cost. Last time I talked to you, I think I was on the show, I mentioned the fact that you have call centers now for hospitals. So if you end up in Rome, Georgia, for example, you're not going to necessarily be treated in Rome. You're going to be put in an ambulance after the main center, like a Piedmont hospital probably, is going to be called, or maybe it might be Emory, whatever the center is. You call their operator, their switchboard. They take the call from their emergency room. They patch it through to whoever. If it's ENT, the ENT on call will take it, or the GYN or whatever. They've never met the patient. They're going by what this provider told them on the phone. Whether it's right or wrong. Maybe it's not an emergency. Maybe they just didn't know. They just want to shut them off to you. And because of EMTALA, which is the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, you can't turn these people away. You have to triage them. You have to stabilize them. So you're trusting the word of somebody who may be dumping because they're too lazy or, I hate to say it, too stupid to actually understand what they need to know. So now you have an hour-long drive in an ambulance, perhaps an airway, perhaps bleeding, perhaps chest pain that should have been taken care of at the point of service, but now you've had something that was stable, maybe becoming unstable as you come into Atlanta. Or my favorite now is, hospitals are now deciding, I'm going to use my DRG, that's the diagnostic-related group diagnosis, and because of Obamacare and the way the hospital situation is set up, they're very rigid about how long it should take you to get better with a diagnosis. So if you have pneumonia, I'm just throwing it out there, you probably have to be out of the hospital in about 5 days. If you stay 6 days, the hospital eats that bill. So they're really now anal about getting you in and out. They want to make the diagnosis, make the money, and get you out. They want to treat you in these accountable care groups where you have doctors who are affiliated with the hospitals, so they get you stabilized and out to the street as fast as they can and then have the outside doctor treat you. I'm digressing for a minute. But that's set up in a group setting, so they get one capitated fee to take care of all of their patients per year. So if they see a lot of sick people, they will not be in business very long because they would have spent their pot of money. So what are they going to do? try to treat your butt at home as much as possible. Not have you come to the doctor's office. Have you manage it by internet and virtual. That's not care. So somebody who needs someone to touch them, hold hands, go over a treatment plan, is now on the internet getting a provider, giving them their cookbook for the day. Okay, that's one side of this. Let's go back to the hospital for a second. So now you have the hospitals not treating people. And this is personal because I have a very close friend who's in the hospital now. Her dad's in the hospital. He had a horrible heart attack. He's in the ICU. And the policy of this hospital was, because he was on no pain medicine and no drips, he's going to be taken from their ICU and transferred to Northside because he's on Obamacare, because the hospital won't be paid. So you're taking a person who's barely stable, coming out of a major catastrophic event, being shuttled in an ambulance to a different hospital because of money. It's not because of money. It's not because of health care. I don't care what anybody who is a proponent of Obamacare, it's not right. And nobody should be a cost center. And nobody should be a bottom line for a hospital, because all they care about is staying open. They don't care about the personal. I don't care how many warm and fuzzy commercials they put on. They care about their board of directors. They care about their CEO making their six figures and their bonuses. And they now are going to get bonused on disallowing care. It's the opposite. It's no longer now, let's do everything to save somebody. Now it's, how can we stabilize them and get them out so we can keep our money in our pot? That's what we're dealing with. And recently, Medicare has now stated that they're considering, I think they already do it, but they quote-unquote are considering paying providers for talking about end-of-life decisions, which means hospice, pulling the plugs on people. Well, you're going to get paid now for having that conversation. Before, you didn't. So now there's an incentive now. I bet you get paid a lot to do that, more than I would doing a tonsillectomy, for example, or a cardiac surgeon doing a bypass. People think that doctors make a ton of money. They don't. And I'm just dumbfounded, although I kind of understand it. The doctors who work for the hospital seem to be in this big bubble. They think that they're immune from what's going to happen. And I read an article about how we should have, bundled payments, and doctors should be in accountable care organizations, and we should work together to lower the cost. Are you serious? Do you know what that really means? Honestly, you don't, since you get a paycheck. But what that means is that you have no connection with reality. They've already done bundled payments. I've been living under that for 10 years as a surgeon, a specialist. Maybe it's now going to come to internist. I don't know. But it's been in our situation forever. They don't pay us anymore for consults. We get paid the same as primary care doctors for seeing patients. So the change has already happened. And this person is like in la-la land. I'm going to quote, the doctor that came on a while back who said, as soon as they get their quota of doctors in their hospital setting, as soon as they have the number they need to run their hospitals, they will start lowering how much they pay them. They will trap them in a system, and they will become basically slaves to the system. They already are, but they're not going to feel it. And they won't have anywhere to go because they won't be able to open up a private practice because they can't compete. I'm sure there's clauses that you can't open up your office within X number of miles from the hospital. It's prohibitively expensive now. Good luck. So this is all designed to drive us towards single payer. The only holdouts are the independent docs like myself and independent surgery centers, people who actually want to practice medicine using the Hippocratic Oath. That's the only hope that we have. But we need patients to really understand this now and start opting out of this system and going to a different track, because it's a two-tier system. I think now we need to start accessing it. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George. This is Dr. George. Join me Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock for Medicine on Call. Learn strategies to protect you and your family in the age of Obamacare.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, we were talking in the break about people being on edge. I think there is definitely just this heightened sense of frustration and powerlessness and fear. And that's what the system thrives on. It thrives on people saying, why bother? I can't make a difference, so I'm just going to put my head down and just keep going forward or just do what I'm told because I don't want to make waves. It's not going to work. You can play the game if you want to, but the end of that line is a loss of your of yourself and your soul, if you really want to go down to the, you know, the root of this thing. It's not going to be easy, but the more people that do it, the easier it gets. You don't need a majority of the country to say that I'm done, this is enough. You only need a small percentage to make a difference. I mean, we talked about this in other shows about changing the food supply. If, I think, 6% of the people started buying organic, it would change the whole nature of the food industry. It's all about money for them. They just want to feed you whatever is cheapest for them to make, that lasts the longest, and that they don't care whether it makes you healthy, sick. I saw this coming ages ago. The fact that they started feeding cattle corn, and in some cases I remember hearing that they fed them candy when we had the big drought. So the food supply is now, these cows are fat. So the amount of fat that you're consuming in the meat that you eat has led to high cholesterol. The fact that they stopped using sugar and started using high fructose corn syrup leads to obesity. It leads to pancreatic cancer. It leads to hypertension. There's the food supply that's driving a lot of this, and the government is not doing a thing to change it. But we can. And if we decide, at the very least, why can't we have it labeled? I think if people could actually read stuff, they'd probably be more informed. They'd make a decision in their own interests. That's exactly what they don't want. That's an example of how the system runs right there. If you don't know, and if they purposefully keep you in the dark, then you cannot make thoughtful decisions. You end up being, I trust this person or this entity to protect me because I can't do it for myself. But as soon as you seed, it's your job to protect yourself and your family, men and women. And as soon as we let that go and I'll just give up my guns, I'll give up my child's education, I'll give up my everything, my home, for example. Here's another example. This reverse mortgage thing, which everybody's pushing, or even joining the refinance bandwagon where the government is the backer, you no longer own your home. It's just a matter of time before they come for it. I don't know why people can't see that. I understand why seniors might want to do it. They're living destitution at this point. Their Social Security doesn't cover anything. They may not have kids who can help them. I get it. But they won't leave any wealth to their family because as soon as that they pass and it turns to a new owner, all of that that loan they took comes payable to the second person. So it's kind of like Medicare. It's like Medicaid. It's like Obamacare. You don't accumulate wealth in this system. You end up paying into it, hoping that someone's going to take care of you. When you really need it, it's not what you think it's going to be. And there's no legacy. I mean, there's no... You've literally given your wealth away. As you, in this system, as you age and as you use the services, it's a loan. It's not a payout. It's not a subsidy, really. It's a loan. And if you're not going to pay it, your estate will and your children will. That's how the system runs. And that runs the same way in terms of the healthcare system. They don't want to spend money on end of life. They've said it. What they haven't said, where I know it's coming, they're not going to want to spend money on the beginning of life either. If you have a child with multiple medical problems or they're born premature and they can extrapolate what they're going to be in terms of productive members of society, blah, 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 they're not going to do it. And they're going to say, we don't have enough resources and it's not fair for the few to take over resources from the many. And then you have all these people, these young people, unfortunately, who have this mindset of, yeah, I'll just kill grandma because I need to be in the system and I'm working and I want mine. Well, everybody's going to be a grandma at some point. Do you really want them to pull the plug on you? Just empathy. There is no empathy-driven system anymore. It's like everybody's out for themselves, but yet they're not. You know, if they were, they would actually, well, they must not love themselves. That's how I would see it. Because if you don't love yourself and you allow this to go down, then, hey, they'll treat you the way you want to be treated. We have to demand to be treated with respect. I demand it as a physician, as an American citizen. I'm not going to let anybody walk over me. And if I have a choice, I'm going to choose me. If it comes down to someone or me and mine, people need to start thinking that way. And I don't mean kill other people. I mean, this is unacceptable. I will not be put in a position where I'm practicing outside of my scope, where I'm in a position where I need to pull a plug on somebody because someone makes me do it, because I'm beholden to them because they pay my paycheck. I refuse to be in that system. I want to run my own show because I want to make my own ethical, moral decisions. Everybody needs to search their conscience at this point and make up their mind as to what their morals and their ethics are, not what you're told they should be, because that's a different standard. It's a low standard. Go back to basics. You know, civility. Even though these people talk about, oh, you're being bullying and you're being mean, these are the worst people in the world, because when you do speak up, you're racist, you're sexist, sit down and shut up. They tell you that they are all about individuality and individualism, but they're actually not. It's go along, get along. But the antidote for that, I'm going to tell you what you need to say. I don't care what you think. That's the antidote. When people start pulling that on you, it shuts them up in 2 seconds. Because if you don't give them that power of them start trying to demean you or embarrass you, they don't have power over you. Look at how this government works at this point. They're lying. We talked about it at the beginning. They lie 24/7. They don't have a conscience about it. They say, and what? And they continue to move forward. Well, we need to do a little bit of that ourselves. You know, I have an opinion. I don't think illegal immigration is good. I think that it messes with the fabric of the country. It uses both the immigrants and Americans in a way that makes us work against our own interests. We do need people to come to the country, but we want to know who they are, if they're going to be productive. Why are we the only country in the world that just lets anybody, anything in the world just come on through and then get paid for it? Mexico doesn't do it. I know Germany doesn't do it. None of the countries do it. And until we stand up and say, I want to have my piece of this pie, my family, I struggled, we deserve to have ours before we share. There's something wrong with that, because if you don't have anything, no one shares anything, right? That's basically the baseline of this story. You need to start standing up for your rights. And that means speaking up, going to these town hall meetings, calling your congressperson, telling them you don't have my vote anymore, and I'm going to tell you why. Because they think that you're stupid.
What do you think we'll call, what's going to be the key to calling people out? I mean, we're sitting on the brink of something in Iraq. We obviously have a brink of something in Ukraine. We have the brink of the medical profession going down the tube. Mm-hmm. We have an economy that's hasn't recovered. We have unemployment that's incredible, no matter what they lie about and say, and on and on and on. So what's going to make me act?
Well, I think first you have to think about your own personal interest, that, and then work it out from there. What you eat, who you shop with, how you take care of your health is the first step. I mean, this is a system that's interlocked. They want you to be sick, tired, depressed, and give up. So if you start taking your own personal power back, it gives you a lot of ammunition to stop playing the game. This is civil disobedience 101. Don't go through the stupid scanner in the airport. Studies have shown if 10% of the people said, I'm opting out, I want to be searched, they would shut down the scanner because they have to get the people through fast enough to get on the plane. That's one example. Two, get rid of your insurance company, your medical insurance company, and think about supplemental insurance, Liberty HealthShare, MediShare, MediBid. Go to read the selfpaypatient.com, you know, the book. I think it's like $14, not expensive. You can make positive healthcare decisions that cost you a fraction. And therefore, you would have a lot more money. God forbid, if you get sick, you'd have a lot more money in your pocket. You could have some peace of mind. These are all decisions that you can make that don't involve the government. Forget the government. It's time to make your own decisions based on what your family and what you yourself need. And it's now no longer just day by day. You need to start planning. You need to start planning for the future. And that means everything from staying healthy to actually having money, nest egg. I mean, instead of buying the extra shoes, why don't you put it away? Why don't you put it in gold or silver? Something that you can actually use down the road. Have some cash on hand. I mean, these shows now are telling you what to do. I just watched this show called The Strain, and it's chaos because of some sort of vampire outbreak. And the ATM stopped working. And the first thing, one character pulls out a wad of cash because she knew, and she was prepared. So, I mean, things like that. If you're going to watch these shows, at least try to take something from them instead of just be entertained. But, I mean, those are the beginnings. What the government and the congresspeople and everybody in power want is for you to feel like only they can protect me. If you start saying, only I can protect myself, that's your first step to getting out of this trap. So that would be my recommendation. Certainly you can go to my website, drelenageorge.com. You can read everything I've ever written because it started a while back and I unfortunately saw this stuff coming. You can go to the self-pay patient, libertyhealthshare.org. Follow me on Twitter, on Medicine on Call. This is a system now where education and information needs to rule. Stop living in fear. Start taking your power back. On that note, thank you so much for listening to Medicine on Call, and I will see you next week.
I just want to say one quick thing. Dr. George has been doing a fantastic job on Cavuto World, the world of Cavuto, and on Fox News. So anytime you catch her, it's worth listening to. Thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
This is America's Web Radio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.